We're getting our bus ministry going again, and it's exciting to see the process of that. And I want you to know that the new bus has facilitated that greatly. We have about four or five more that will be coming, so we're back up to about 16, and we should be even more than that in the coming days. Probably have to run the van twice on Sunday mornings, which would be good. Two different routes. I want to share with you a message this morning, and the name of the message is "Storms Are Good." After this week, there are a lot of people who might disagree with me, or might say, "If when they see this, storms are good. What are you talking about? Did you not see the death and destruction in the Bahamas?" And I did, and this is not at any point to diminish the tragedies that took place. I, as well as this church, have been praying for those who lost their homes, who some lost their lives, but amazingly, I'm amazed that only 30 lost their lives, because when you see that whole island flattened, you would expect to see at least hundreds, maybe thousands, that were disappeared. So I feel like God's hand protected them. Had to be. And then all week this week, you know, there was a lot of prayers going up. You know why I know that? Because I watched that storm do this when it got right to Florida. Then I saw it get to Georgia and do this. Then I saw it go by South Carolina. Then I saw it go through North Carolina. They must not have been praying at Hatteras. But actually they were. Because when it hit Hatteras, it was only a Category 1. It had gone from a Category 5 to a Category 1. And they've had many Category 1s out there at Hatteras and done real well. So actually, as far as I'm concerned, there had to have been a lot of prayers. I believe God can move storms. I believe he can redirect them. I don't believe God creates, although he could, storms to do his work. Although he can, and actually he has in the Bible. But I want you to understand that I believe within the midst of the storm, God brings about good. And I want to talk about that this morning. First, I want you to know that a storm, and let me say this. I believe that at the end of this message, you might, and I hopefully so, look at the storms you are going through or have been through or are going to go through yet have not yet got to the doors of those storms in a different way. And that is the purpose I believe God has laid on my heart for this message, is that we look at storms a little differently, the storms in your life. I have six things that I want to tell you what storms basically do. They change your focus. You focus on what is important. How many times have you seen people after a tornado or a hurricane went through and they say, "We lost everything, but we have our lives, and that's what's important. I have my family. That's what's important." You suddenly realize all those trinkets and all that stuff you have is not as important as you've placed importance on it. Second, they make us dependent. Let me tell you something. If I didn't have other people and a storm came through and blew down my house, I would be in trouble. Imagine if you were on an island all by yourself and there was no one to help you. And a hurricane or a storm went through and left you devastated. Oh, you would say, "Well, I would pick up and move on." How hard would that be? We need each other. God created the church to be a body that joins together so that we can encourage, build up, lift up, and be there when you need us. And we can be built up in Christ through you. It's also make us dependent on God. I believe that there are many who come to God in the midst of storms. Third, they bring us together. And I don't mean just in word, but they actually bring us together. This past week, I saw a lot of new trucks riding around our area, especially in Raleigh. They had Oklahoma on them, Ohio, New York, different places that had come to station themselves ready to help after the hurricane passed. They were on call. They brought us together. I believe storms bring us together. Fourth, they clean the air and the environment. Do you know, how many of you have heard about the flesh-eating bacteria they found in Florida and other places? Did you know a hurricane disintegrates that, blows it out, gets rid of that? Cleans up the water, cleans up the landscape. You might think, well, it's got debris in it. Yes, but it washes out so much of the environment that is not good. It is a cleansing. Fifth, they help us see our weakness and correct or shore up the needed areas. I was listening. All of this I got by listening to the hurricane. I don't know how many of you did this, but my wife likes to just sit and gorge herself on hurricane news, and so we turn it to the Weather Channel, and she would sit there with me and go, I don't know how these people keep talking about this stuff. How they keep, I mean, they've talked about it for 5 hours now, they keep talking about it, same stuff, especially things like the stupid people who drive their cars into the ocean. If any of you have said, I've said on Facebook, that's a riot. They have all kinds of stuff on Facebook about that car that was driven in the ocean. And they're all hilarious. Anyway, I won't say all of them I see. They're really hilarious. But I believe it tells us this is what you need to take care of in the future. In past storms, the governor of North Carolina said, we have learned from past storms that we need to do this. And we're asking everyone to leave the barrier islands because we have seen the destruction and we know what could be. So we have learned from the past to pull everybody off the barrier islands. That you learn through storms. You learn what is weaknesses in your life. You learn what you need to shore up, what you need to change. Six, they make us new people. Even change the direction in our lives. Storms make you a new person. I want us to read together our scripture. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And if you would turn in your Bibles, I know it's going to be on the screen up here if you don't have a Bible. Please turn in your Bibles. Mark it if you would. And come back and digest it later and think about it. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? I want you to think about this scripture a little bit. It has a lot of messages in it for us. First of all, he was having a rough day, a tough day. It was a day of exhaustion, because many people had come to hear him preach, and apparently they were all over him. Please touch me. Please this and that. And he said, put a boat out. And he got in the boat and stood and preached. And he basically told them from parables. He only used parables and stories. And they were the way he taught them at the time. And then when they had been there a long while, he said, push out into the middle of the lake and let's go to the other side. We need to leave here. He was exhausted. He laid down and went to sleep. A storm came up. And it says it nearly swamped the boat. Now, I want you to understand, a storm doesn't swamp the boat in 5 minutes. It takes a while for a storm to come up. It takes a while for the storm to get to such a height that it begins to swamp the boat. They were in that storm a good while. How many of them turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, will you calm the storm? Will you help us out here? None of them. They tried everything they could think of. They tried all their nautical mariner type of lifestyle, and they pulled ropes, and they tried going into the waves. They pulled the sail down. They did everything they could to save the boat. Then someone said, "Do you know Jesus is still asleep in the boat?" And they're going, the man is something. He must really be exhausted. We're going to die. He at least needs to know he's going to die. There's a couple of points here I want you to know. First, their focus was off. They were focused on the storm and their own nautical abilities to handle the storm. How many times is it that we are? How many times have you heard someone say, well, there's nothing left to do but pray? You ever heard that? All we have left is prayer. Well, that's what you need to have in the first place. There was a team of, that I saw it again on Facebook, there was a team of linemen coming from Oklahoma, and it had a picture of them as they had their trucks ready to leave Oklahoma to come to North Carolina for this storm. And they were all in a circle, and the men were all in a circle on their knees, holding hands, praying before they left to come to North Carolina. Let me tell you something. You begin with prayer. That's where you begin. It's not where you end. It's where you begin. The second thing I want to make mention of is this. Whenever we encounter a storm, the focus should be on Jesus. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. My God shall supply all your needs. What needs? Isn't it interesting that we see other people and we say, God will take care of that. God's going to take care of that. Then when it comes to us and our storm, we go, how could God handle this? This is an impossible one. God would not change this. Listen, God can steal the storms. And if he can steal the storms, he can heal. He can redirect. He can change minds. He can lift hearts. He can do a lot of things that transform the situation into miracles. So their second thing is they needed to realize something, which they didn't realize, that in their boat was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who made everything, the author and creator of all things and had complete control over it. In their boat they had that. How many Christians don't even know in their boat they've got Jesus? Jesus has got your back. You're saying, but you don't know the storm I'm going through. You don't know the struggle I'm going through. No, but then you don't know the God I know. Because the God I know never gets out of the boat. He's waiting on us to call and wake him and say, of course he's not asleep, but to say, I need your help. There was a high, and by the way, God uses some amazing things to accomplish his work. How many of you have seen the hand of God whenever you are in the midst of a storm resolve that situation in a way you could never imagine? There was a girl, her name was Amelia Milling. She was a deaf and a dumb student, and she couldn't hear and couldn't speak. She was on a hike. She decided to hike in Alaska and by herself, solo hike. And so she went. I've forgotten the name of the national forest there in southern Alaska, but she went there and climbed a mountain. When she got near the top, she fell 70 feet down into a ravine. She hurt her leg. She couldn't move. She didn't know where she was. She was disoriented, and she prayed, and God help me, and looked up, and there was a wolf in front of her. And she started backing up against the wall, of the stone wall that was behind her. And she continued to back up against the stone wall. And she leaned back against it, nowhere to go. And then she looked, and it looked like this particular wolf was not going to eat her. Was not upset. The dog came right up to her, and she noticed it had a collar on. And so she looked at the collar, and the collar had a message on it. I am a scout dog, and I will help you find your way. She reached down and grabbed the collar of that dog, which was a husky. She thought it was a wolf. She grabbed the husky, and he pulled her out back and led her back to her base camp. She thanked him and didn't know where that dog came from. The dog, the husky, left and later on came back. When she fell into, the next day she decided to go a different route, and she fell into a river and was drowning, and the dog was suddenly there, jumped in and pulled her out and stayed with her till she got back to the base camp. Twice in 2 days. I guess the second time maybe that dog knew to hang around. But the first time, it was amazing that in this ravine, here this dog just shows up. You see, God can use unusual circumstances. Now, in the story, it goes on to say that this particular dog was an owner's pet, and they let him go out because he has guided people out, but never guided somebody out that was hurt in a ravine up on the mountain. God uses amazing things. Their focus and trust were changed. They were changed. You see, storms have a tendency to change how we look at things. This life-threatening storm, it was good. Time and again, we have seen it true that storms bring us together. Our prayer warrior text line brings us together. The storms that we hear that people are going through brings us together. And by the way, it's not just to have us pray. I'm going to tell you something. I want to thank you for sharing your prayer needs, because when I get a text back that says, God is taking care of it, they're healed, I go, yes, because it transforms me. I was a part of a prayer line that healed. Do you understand how powerful that is in your life? We need it every day. Christian, think about it. We need to hear every day that somebody has been healed, that God is alive, he's working, that miracles are happening in the midst of their storms, and we need to share it. That's what our text line's about. That's what prayer chains are all about. This is what this church is about. Storms do a lot of things about bringing us together. Another thing storms do is they make us compassionate. In Romans 12:15, it says, we weep with those who weep, and we hurt with those who are hurt, sometimes thousands of miles away. We can do that today. Through the media, we can do that. I can actually hurt for the people in Texas, and I can hurt for the people in the Bahamas. And this teaches us compassion. Storms teach us compassion. Storms are good. Storms show our weaknesses, though. It points out areas we need to work on. Some of us need to shore up our lives. Some of us need to put things aside that are sinking us, and we need to repent from them, turn from them. Some of us need to wake up, just flat wake up. We're sleeping through this life. Any of you ever been to Ollie's? That's the most amazing store I have ever been in, off of Roxborough. It's a store where they have just tons and tons and tons of stuff in there that is from repossessions and bankruptcies and Bibles that are $60 or $20. I was in there and I was going, I found children's Bibles for $5. They're normally $10. I was in, and they have books, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books. I was praying. We had a Christian bookstore near me shut down. I was going, Lord, I got to drive all the way to Burlington for Christian books. No, it's in Ollie's. Go to Ollie's. You're going to see some books that are amazing. Thousands of books. My wife got 20 or 30 books. They are like $2 and $3, normally at $19, $24 books. This is the most amazing place. I don't know the guy, but he ought to see. Give me something for sharing Ollie's. Ollie's is amazing. Listen, I went into Ollie's. The only reason I went was because we ate pizza right next door. I said, let's go in there. I've heard about this place. Wow, I went in there and went, this is the most amazing place I've ever been in my life. I was enamored. I got about 15 books. My wife got about 20 books. I don't know how many we got, but all together, I say that, probably got about 20 all both together. I don't know. But there were some amazing things. And what I'm getting to is when I walked in there, I saw a couple of books that just woke me up. Has a book ever woke you up? Has a movie ever woke you up? So should God wake us up. So should storms wake us up. And I believe God uses storms. I don't believe he creates them to do that. But I believe in the midst of storms, he uses them to wake us up. Storms are good. Some of us need a fresh start. We need to start over. We've tried what we've done and it's not working. If you're experiencing or soon experience storms, if you can say, this too is good. Calamities should shake us and lead us to ask, what are we pursuing every day? What are we giving our lives to? What am I working hard to gain things that God says are only temporary? You say, but what about the tragic, major storms where someone actually dies? Joni Erickson had a Cat 5 hurricane hit her life. Joni Erickson was a young teenage girl, an athlete. She was a swimmer. During the summer, they would go out on a little platform and dive off the platform in the middle of the lake that they had behind their house. And she was out there and dove off of the platform and did not come up. They begin to scream, where is Johnny? Where is Johnny? Someone dove down, found her on the bottom. She had hit her head on the bottom on a rock. They pulled her up. They got her to shore. They got her to the dock. They revived her. Amazingly, they revived her. but she was her neck was broken, and she was paralyzed from the neck down, quadriplegic, could not move her arms or legs. To this day, Johnny has not moved her arms or legs many years later. And she screamed out to God, "I am no good, I'm nothing but a blob. Take me, God. Why should I even be alive?" But out of what was a storm in her life and many years of rehabilitation, Johnny Erickson preaches all over the United States. I don't know if you've heard her. There's been two movies out about her life. Also, Johnny Erickson is a painter. She paints with her mouth. She puts the brush in her mouth and she paints and has some beautiful paintings. And there's been a lot of prints. If you go to most Christian bookstores, they've got her prints there. She has transformed more people's lives than she could ever have not going through that storm. And you say, but why that way? Only God knows. Storms are good. Finally, God speaks to us out of the storms. Our senses are intensified in storms. We hear and perceive God's call. That's not only to those who are in the storm, but also those who view those in the storm. We are often called to respond. There was a young man. He was in the military in Russia, the Soviet Union at the time. And Sergei Kotakov. Sergei was in the ocean, and when he was in the ocean as a naval student, they used him to break up prayer meetings. He said many times they would break up dissident groups, and they were in common man uniforms or outfits so that they wouldn't look like they were military, but the government sent them in to break up Christian organizations. This is what socialist governments do. And they sent them to destroy the church, not by open means, but by subversive means. But one day, he kept seeing this girl back. And he would beat her up, throw her out of the place, and she would come back. And he looked at her one day and said, "You're back." And she said, "Yes, and I will always be back because Christ is my Savior." It touched him, and he could not believe it. He asked for to be transferred to the North Pacific. And in the Baltic Sea, he left the Baltic Sea to go up there. And when he was out there, he was in a storm. And he said, "I'm going to jump over and swim to the coast of Canada. I want to get completely out of this." And he jumped over in the middle of a storm, and he started swimming, and he was drowning. His boots filled up. He had forgotten to take his boots off. And they began to pull him down, and he began to come up. And finally, he looked up in the midst of that storm, in the midst of the Pacific Ocean, and he said, "If there is a God, show yourself." And there was a hand as clear. He said it wasn't clouds. It wasn't a whisper of smoke. It was a hand pointing in a direction. And he swam towards that direction. And when he got there, there was a beach. There was a farmer on the beach. He took him in. He was put he asked for exile in Canada. A girl, the first one to visit him, was a Christian girl, and she shared Jesus, and he accepted Jesus. Kordakov soon began a Bible ministry into the Soviet Union, smuggling Bibles in. He was found in Los Angeles 6 years later with 10 shots in his back, dead. He had no enemies except one, the socialist government and in Russia. But God used him in a great way. I think in the midst of storms, we actually hear and see God. We see him if we've never seen him before. Job 46 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm." Nahum 1:3 says this, "The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is the whirlwind, and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet." C.S. Lewis said this, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. My children, I am in the storms, and I will make them good. Trust me.